It's me. It's DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, the King of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion and CEO and founder of DDP Yoga. And you, monkey? Well, you are listening to Solid Monster Sound Off. And that's not a bad thing, my friend. That's a good thing.
Welcome to this special episode of the Solid Monster Sounds Off, which you can listen to every Sunday on thesolidmonster.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play Music. Jason here, and I have with me now, back for round two, former three-time WCW champion. He's also a co-producer for the Resurrection of Jake the Snake documentary, which is getting rave reviews on Netflix, and he stars in the new movie The Bet, which is now available on iTunes and video on demand. Diamond Dallas Page is here. Dallas, how are you? You're a busy man.
Been crazy busy, but all in a good way. No complaints.
Well, it's good to have you back on. Now, the last time we spoke, we talked about your match with Goldberg for our WCW countdown, and your voice had seen better days. You actually sound human again.
Yeah, I've been... You know, sometimes I just push it too hard and I forget that I'm 60 years young, you know, so like, no, I don't know anybody except for maybe like a Triple H or a Vince McMahon who works the way I work, you know, and I don't really consider it work because I love what I do. You know, I try to tell everybody, you know, the American dream, the worldwide dream is to find something that you love to do and then figure out a way to make money on it. You know, so you never feel like you're working. And, you know, sometimes I just push it too far and try to do too much.
Well, you can't do that because there's a lot of people that need you around.
This is true.
So we'll get to some wrestling questions. I have a few of them, but I want to focus more on all of the different projects that you're involved in and obviously DDP Yoga as well. But before we do, I just watched WWE's new documentary on Scott Hall, which is excellent. You're featured in there. You played a very big role in getting Scott to help himself and turn his life around. Have you seen the DVD? And if so, what'd you think of it?
I thought it was an awesome job. You know, it was funny because I've had so many people, after seeing the Resurrection of Jake the Snake, say, are you going to do one on Scott Hall? And it was easy for me to say, well, we really don't need to because WWE did.
Right.
You know, and our section of it, they used all our footage. So, you know, it was really just a continuation and it got people to see. You know, I offered Joe Scott at one point, you know, this could be the Resurrection of Jake the Snake and Scott Hall. And Scotty was like, listen, Dally, you know, I don't like to be the poster boy for, you know, for recovery because I failed so many times at it.
Right.
And, you know, to be perfectly honest, and it's pretty much known on the internet, people who really follow Scott, you know, that after he went through this incredible journey and got to the Hall of Fame, you know, he fell down a number of times where Jake fell down during the process and Scott's came after. And, it really is, you know, it's really amazing if someone's having a problem with someone with addiction, whether it's your parents, your, you know, brother, you know, cousin, whatever, you know, your best friend, film them when they're all effed up. Show them how they are because they don't know. Like Jake would never look at his footage anytime, and he knew we were putting videos out there. You know, in the beginning, to tell the story, Scott knew too. But Scott didn't really, besides seeing himself, you know, in the worst shape ever, he didn't really get to see it, the ugly side. It's really tough for people to see themselves when they're really down and out, when they get emotional. Jake never watched anything. I'll use Jake as the example, and then I'll go to Scott. When we finished the movie, and I promised Jake when I first started filming, I said, Jake, there will never be a movie without your endorsement. This is not and never will be Beyond the Mat. If this is not a story of redemption, if it is not the title, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, if it is not, it won't be ever, just, it will never be out there for anybody to see. And Jake trusted me, you know, the way I could trust him. And we got to the end and now it's time. Now you have to understand, I'll never make the money back on the money that I spent. But that's not why I did it. To me, it's like my always hope is to break even. Like when I advertise on Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast or Jericho's or Ross's or, wherever I am, my goal is to break even. And some months I've done real well, and other months I've come, round even, which is that's I'm always cool with, because it's about getting the word out and everything. So with Jake's, it was the story. It was recreating the brand of Jake Roberts, but not just Jake. Of course, it's going to reflect over to me, and it's going to reflect over to Scott and Steve Yu as the director, who did an unbelievable job. But my whole crew, people always say, oh my God, you saved Jake's life. It's like, no. All I was his inspirational guide. I that's all I could do. Scott and Jake did the work, but so did all my crew. Like, I've got, the best support team ever. And my guys are unbelievable because there was only one guy we had to let go. And he was a nice guy, but he still brought too much negativity at times. And I don't have time for that. If you want to start off negative and we're going to help you turn your mindset around, if you can do that, awesome. If you can't, then I don't have time for that bullshit. Right. I just don't. So for Jake, when we sat down to watch the movie, he'd never seen anything, any videos on YouTube, nothing. I said, there's two things, Jake, that I need you to understand before I start this movie. One, what's the most important thing about our business? And any wrestler knows. The finish. No matter how much you screw the match up, don't F up the finish. That's you do that, you won't be here that long. So remember that. The finish is the most important thing. Number two, you can't leave. Once we start this journey, bro, you got to stay all the way to the end. Because you got to trust me, the finish is strong. And when he first sat there that first time and watched all of the, the falls, oh, to hear him talk. I wish I had a camera just on him talking to himself. Because, there's a lot of shame that goes with addiction, and that's the biggest thing I learned. After seeing that, and Jake was on that spot at that point where he was, he was sober. And there's a bunch of times where he could have fallen because his ex-wife is look up in the dictionary, worst ex-wife ever. It was his second and third one because it's the same woman. She is miserable when he is doing good. There's a lot of times he could have fallen.
Right.
And he didn't. And it started with being accountable to me for a whole year every morning. And it just went on from there and him doing himself. And when Scott fell later, it was just a couple of times. And I think that's a part of the recovery. And when he was in the middle of it, if he was already falling and I was on the road, then I wouldn't even bother calling him. I just wait till I got home because he only lives, three blocks from me. And then, where my boys would go over and knock on the door and say, hey, D, Scott's not taking any calls, And when I would finally get home, and he tells this story really funny, but true. I mean, I'll bang on your door and your window till you answer the fucking door. It's as simple as that. And then, we're going to just have a conversation. I'm not going to browbeat you, or it's just make you understand, what are you doing? And Scott, a lot of people with addictions, the first thing they're going to do is really talk down about themselves. And, and this story that, when you're going through, especially, I think everybody does it. Everybody, I got a segue with this, People, the golden rule in the Bible is treat people the way they want to be treated. I don't want you to treat me the way you want to be treated. Most people treat themselves like shit. They talk bad about themselves. They put themselves down. They talk down to themselves. They put shit in their bodies. They have no real respect for themselves, most people. One of the greatest quotes ever, and it just came to me recently, but I lived it my whole life. And it's my personal hero that said it. He said, the repetitions of affirmations leads to belief. And once that belief becomes a deep conviction, things begin to happen. Do you know who said that?
No.
Muhammad Ali.
Oh, wow.
How many times did Muhammad Ali say, I am the greatest. I'm the greatest of all time. I'm the greatest. He meant it everything. He didn't mean boxing. That was just one of the things on his list. But when he was saying that since he was a teenager, own this quote. The repetitions of affirmations leads to belief. And once that belief becomes a deep conviction, things begin to happen. In the last century, 1900 to 2000, they picked who the top 100 greatest athletes were of that century. You know who number one is?
Muhammad Ali.
Damn right. Because he made such an impact. But it all comes down to the story you tell yourself. So when I was helping Jake change that story, it took a long time. And there's one thing in the movie no one ever saw, and I've told the story a couple times recently, because it never made it, because there was nobody there but me and him, so I didn't have anybody to film what was happening sporadically at, you know, any given time. Jake came down one afternoon. It was like a Sunday or something, and he was so mad, and he was so upset with himself, and he was like, I'm such a loser, and he hit my marble counter. That's like where we cook all our meals, or the stove is and all that. I mean, he hit it hard. Like, it hurt my hand to watch him hit the marble. And I go, what are you doing? What's the matter? I went, come here, bro. He goes, what? I go, come here. I want to show you something. And I walked into the bathroom, and there's a mirror there. I said, look in the mirror. I said, tell me what you see. He said, a loser. I said, stop saying that, man. Stop saying that. What does the t-shirt say that you're wearing? And if you go back to the resurrection of Jake the Snake, he's wearing that t-shirt right in the beginning of the movie. And they're asking him about Wrestling Inc., talking about him drinking on a weekend that was like right as soon as we started. And he's wearing this t-shirt that is a skeleton that's all in red, and he's got a red flag, and on the flag it says Wasted Youth. I said, what does that t-shirt say? And he just face just completely dropped. I go, every time you wear that stupid fucking t-shirt, you tell yourself how you've wasted your youth, how you wasted and pissed away. He said it in his induction speech, how he pissed away a lot of his career, and he's ashamed of it. I'm like, every time you wear that shirt, you remind yourself, dude. I go, you wear that stupid fucking Manson shirt. I said, you got 8 kids. 4 of them, 5 of them are girls. I said, you want any of those kids to hang out with Manson? He goes, hell no. I go, then why would you wear that fucking shirt? I go, stop wearing that shit, man. I said, you should be wearing positive energy written on your shirt, unstoppable on your shirt. You should be wearing never, ever, ever give up. That's what you should be wearing. Yeah, all right, all right, all right, all right. That's where you go. All right, all right, all right. Whenever he knew that there was no defense to what I was saying. And it wasn't meant as an onslaught. It was meant like slap, slap, slap. You know, like, dude, wake up. And this was like early on. So that was a really tough time. And about an hour later, he came downstairs and he had a different shirt on. He said, D. I said, check. He said, check this out. I just got off the phone with Robert. Robert's one of our web guys, one of our design graphic designers and stuff. He said, check this out. Robert just sent it to me. I just ordered a dozen of these, and on it said, my history is not my destiny. So that was the beginning of him really believing that. And that becomes a theme throughout the movie. You know, times he had said it, and I don't think in the beginning he really believed it. But But by the end, he believed it was possible.
I guess a good transition to this question. What's the biggest takeaway that you want people to get when they're done watching this movie?
One word would be hope. Anything's possible. I mean, my boy Stone Cold Steve Austin is, you know, is a guy that I lived with. I lived with on the road. I lived with up until he left for the WWE. When he moved out to LA, he lived with me for almost a year. He watched me create this thing, DDP Yoga, from its infancy. Now, he saw me doing the workout, you know, all through the end of my career. But I decided I was going to turn it into a business where I put money into it, put it into the book, put it into the DVDs, put it into the promotion, put it into the marketing. He watched me create it all, going through a divorce. He watched me beat my head against the wall, trying to convince people what DDP Yoga could do for them. He watched me over and over and over and hit the wall and people not hear it. And then one person would hear it, then they'd fall off. But the persistency to never give up, he watched all of that. And when Arthur's video blew up, and I'm getting on the plane, and our video of Arthur's going viral, and I get a text from Steve Yu, who's the director of Resurrection Jake the Snake. This is 3 years earlier, 4 years earlier. On, I think it was 2012, I get a text that Steve had captured a tweet, and it was from David Copperfield. And on the tweet, it said, "Stop what you're doing right now and witness real magic." And then it had the @RealDDP on the end of it. And I was like, oh my God, that's the beginning of our company blowing up. By the time I landed, there was another captured tweet from Tony Robbins, who to me is one of the greatest inspirational leaders of our time. And it said, one of the most inspiring must-see videos I've seen starts out slow, well worth the wait. Something like that. I can't remember exactly how it was. But I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. And then that was the beginning of our company grew up. So Steve called me and he was like, dude, he was in Mexico when it blew up. He was like, dude, it's blowing up, man. Yo, I'm so proud of you. Like he was so like, he knew that all that work, just like my wrestling career, because he was there when I went from manager to wrestler. He would get in the ring with me and wrestle with me before the show, teaching me. And now he saw this blowing up. So when he heard I was going to do this with Jake Roberts, he was like, kid, what the fuck are you thinking? You know, I mean, I love Jake, but kid, I mean, like, You've done it. You've blown it up. You know, your company's taking off. It's working. Why would you do this? And I said, because I feel like I owe him, bro, and I want to pay him back. And he goes, yes, but it's Jake Roberts. And God, you know, the odds of this are 1,000,000 to 1. And then when I told him I was bringing Stone Cold, when I told him I was bringing in on bringing Scott Hall, are you crazy? Oh my God.
Well, I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, but at the beginning when all of that first started and you were trying to help Scott, obviously Kevin Nash is very close to him. Was there some resistance from Nash? Was there something going on with the two of you at the beginning there when you were trying to first help Scott?
Well, it wasn't that I was trying to help Scott. What pissed Kev off was that we put up the video of the phone call.
That's right. That's right.
And we thought I was like trying to cash in on our buddy. But he didn't understand what we were doing. What we were doing was like, you gotta remember, Scott Hall wasn't in the public eye, really, for 10 or 12 years at that point. So people had heard all the rumors. You know, they had heard all the bullshit about him. So they'd seen it, you know, they seen E60, where he's totally annihilated. Well, he's annihilated here still, but what was there? You said to me, what are you hoping people take away from it? What was there? What happened in that phone call? It was one element, hope. If Jake could do it, because without the phone call, without the text, the tweet from Sean Walton, I never called Scott. If I hadn't already helped Jake and helped Jake make a turn and make a, what I call make a shift, if I didn't already help Jake make the shift, I never even would have thought to entertain to try to call Scott. Because Scott would always say to me, back when we were wrestling and on top together, and he was getting just fucked up all the time, I'm like, Scotty, what are you doing, man? Like, you're pissing away one of the greatest careers ever. And he'd be like, Dally, you don't know. You know, you don't take pills like I do. You're not an alcoholic. You're not a drug head. You don't know. Well, when I got the tweet from Waltman that basically said, Scott's in trouble. Saw what you did with Jake. Please call Scott. He said he's got a gun. I think he's going to use it this time. That's the basics of what the tweet was. So Steve's right there as I'm reading it. He's filming me. I just got a call from, from Waltman. Steve turns the camera. He's filming me. And I called this guy 10 or 20 times, over the last 10 years. He's never picked up the phone. He's never returned my phone call. Jake's walking around there. At that point, Jake had already fallen one time. And at that point was about 60 days sober. Which was a really big fucking deal for either one of those guys. And, if I didn't have Derek Jake with me, I never would have done it. And it really helped Jake. Like, I used to tell Jake and Scott all the time. Because when you're an addict, you have really low esteem of yourself. You've got a lot of shame. And understandable. But you got to change that story. And how you change the story is you start to do positive things. And I used to tell him all the time, you want to feel better about yourself? Help somebody. Help anybody. I don't give a fuck who it is. Help somebody. Do something. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to feel better about you. That's just a fact of life.
Well, so, I mean, you've helped a lot of people. It's a good transition into back to DDP yoga. I mean, I've had a lot of listeners to my show share before and after pictures on our Facebook page, and they rave about the program. And I know you've probably got about 200,000 people worldwide now that are invested in this program. Now, I noticed the other day you were on you were on Shark Tank about 2 years ago, and the other day they replayed your episode again. I think it was on CNBC. And I wanted to ask you about this because I know on that episode, now I love Shark Tank. I think it's a great show. I know on that episode, you ended up not making a deal, but it got DDP Yoga a ton of exposure. My question is two parts. What was the process in getting selected? Just because I'm curious more than anything else. And did you walk in there actually wanting to make a deal, or did you know going in, man, if I could just make this pitch on TV, this thing's going to take off even more?
It was never about getting a deal. And they told me if I didn't offer like 50, like they tell you, first of all, it's five interviews. It's phone call. It's Skype. It's send your pitch. It's written. I mean, it's a lot. Like, you just don't get on the show. It's a really big deal. You got to hand write everything.
Oh, wow.
27 pages. So bottom line is you got to really want to be on that show. And they basically tell you that they control you. Now, if you remember, at the height of my popularity and probably the most my brand up till in my wrestling career was ever worth was when we merged. And I gave the WWE control of my character. Now, I didn't care if I win or lost. You're always going to have to give me control of that. But control of my character? Whole different animal. You can bet your ass Sting had control of his character. Okay. So the bottom line is I tried doing that before and it didn't really work out for me. Like, really, it's funny because no one really brings up the stalker angle anymore because I've probably said it enough on enough different shows. But, of course, it wasn't my favorite angle, but I played it as well as, you know, it could be played. But it didn't bring anything for me. It, you know, it helped, you know, push WWE over WCW because if you don't sell as a freaking good guy and I'm the heel, well, then there's no heat. So I can't control whether you sell or not.
Well, I just thought you were totally miscast in that role. It always puzzled me why, you know, bringing you in that was kind of the. I imagine it's not something you pitched. So I was always puzzled by that decision.
No, it was something they pitched. But again, there's a lot of ego invested. You have to understand, if the English win the war in 1776, Paul Revere is hung up and hung, and Benedict Arnold is a god. History is written by the winners. That's why I was so thankful that they eventually let me do the very best of Nitro, because nobody was telling me what to say when it came to that. You know, and that's one of the reasons I almost didn't do it, because I wasn't going to let anybody tarnish what we did with Nitro, because we whooped the WWE's ass for a long time.
Yes, you did.
And I was on top of the world the whole time. So the bottom line is, what I learned out of that was, never let anyone sway you from your particular goal. And my goal was people's champion versus people's champion. I saw it 2 years. I was a hotter prospect than The Rock when I saw it. And then when I woke Kimberly up the night that The Rock and I met, and I told you that story, didn't I?
No, I don't think you did.
Big Show, you know, we both were wrestling in the same town. We had a pay-per-view the next day in Canada, in Toronto. And Show was one of my best friends. You know, I raised him in the business. I prepared him for Hogan. You know, I was down to Power Plant back then. And long story short, went in the locker room after everybody's gone and met Rock, and he was just the nicest, most humblest individual. And I'm totally being Dwayne Johnson. And I told him that, you know, Jake had told me what a superstar he was going to be day one. And I've been watching your career, because he said the same thing about me in 1993, and he said the same thing about Stone Cold in 1995. He said we were going to be top, top, top dogs. So I've been watching your career, man, and it's been so cool to watch. I said, especially when, you know, they tried to shove you down their throat and everybody shit on it, and you flipped it and made it hotter than ever. And what I recently saw you do was be yourself and then do this The Rock character, and then you came back to yourself, because I'd never seen actually Dwayne Johnson, you know, because you hadn't seen him on TV yet. You know, you only seen The Rock and different versions of The Rock. And I said, I just love the way you flip back and forth between the character of yourself and The Rock. I said, very reminiscent of the movie The Fan, and Wesley Snipes played that character. And just think, it was a little dig on him, you know, because like, I know where you ripped that, you know, but at the same time, hey, you're making it better. So I'm leaving. And I'm just about out the hallway and making the right-hand turn, because at the Toronto Stadium, the locker rooms are huge. And I'm just about to leave, and right as I'm about to round the corner, I hear, "Hey, Diamond." And when Big Show gets out of my way, you know, like 45 feet away, I can see The Rock. And he's rolling. He had the sideburns back then. He was wearing the $1,500 Versace shirt back then.
Right.
And he's putting one of those on, because he walked the talk back then. He was The Rock 24/7. So he looks at me and he said, "You know, there's only one people's champion." And Big Show was like, oh my God, he didn't just say that. And I'm just staring at him, and he's staring at me. And I bet you nothing gets said for 15, 20 seconds. And then finally I went, you know, Rock, you're right. And you, my friend, well, you're looking at him. Oh, and I was out the door. I didn't give a damn. The eyebrow went up and I was gone. No recon. You ain't coming back on me on that, bro. I'm out of here. And just to know a little comeback on, you know, the fan, like, know where you got that from, dude. And I can go head to head with you, at least to back then, you know?
Sure.
And Big Show's like, oh my God, nobody stops him like that. That night we got so drunk, I woke up Kimberly when we got home and back to the hotel, and I'm like, baby, wake up. I want to tell you how I want to show up in a WWF. She's like, what? And I just signed a multi-million-dollar 3-year deal, like a week before. And she's like, no, what are you talking about? I go, wake up. I just met The Rock. I got to tell you this. So I tell her the story, and I say, here's how I'm going to show up in the WWF. And she's like, what are you talking about? She goes, you just signed the big deal. I go, no, I don't mean now. I'm ending my career in the WWF. I mean, I'm not ending in WCW. I'm doing that. And I said, this is what's going to happen. They're going to turn out all the lights. And everybody's going to just assume it's Jericho. But 15, 20, 30 seconds goes by. Nothing. Jim Ross is like, everyone, hold on. So we were having technical difficulty. And then you hear for the first time ever, in a WWF arena, my voice. And I say, completely pitch black, who's the real people's champion? Spotlight hits me. You're looking at him. Throw the diamond cutter up. I do the bang, the explosions. I go to the ring. I go, The Rock will be hurt. He won't be able to be there. Well, maybe he's doing a movie. I don't know. I'm going to go there. I want to cut a promo on him, and that's how we're going to start our angle. Now, this is 2 years before I show up at the WWF. When I tell you I played that through my brain over and over and over, and I could sue it 1,000 more times, and over again, like, that was going to be what went down. And when I get there, they've got this whole stalker angle that they are so fixated on. So what I really learned is don't ever let anyone derail you. And sure as shit, don't like, well, here's what I was thinking, and throw your idea out there like that, because they're just going to kill it and come back to this. What I should have done is like, that's a great idea for someone else. But here's what I'm willing to do. And if they said no then, what I should have done, and this is the greatest lesson as a businessman, Vince McMahon helped me so much that day by me failing to make the right decision. I can't, it's at length, I would love to get in a room and explain to him how much he helped me. Like, I'm so grateful to him, I can't even explain it to you. Because to me, you just can't be grateful for your wins, for your huge achievements, because you just didn't get there by winning. You have to be grateful for the failures and the bad decisions that you make. And it took me a while to really, you know, sink in. But I realized that what I should have done was when they said, well, that's not really what we see, Diamond. We see you as doing the stalker. No worries. I should have got up from the table, reached my hand over to Vince and said, Vince, thank you so much for meeting with me and the opportunity, man. If you ever want to do People's Champion versus People's Champion, give me a call. And if me and Kim, I don't think we would have made it to the elevator. Because they wanted me bad. But if I did, whatever. At some point, they wanted me bad. They wanted to have that face they could beat down, no matter what, because that's part of what they do. If it was Eric Bischoff and I was coming in, Eric Bischoff would have had me leave Undertaker laying and put out in the fucking hospital for 3 months. Am I wrong?
No, not at all. I mean, you have to have some give and take, and it was just completely one-sided.
Yes, yeah, so don't think that it was a mistake. Don't think I was cast badly. It was the winning of the Civil War. Not even the Civil War, the English War. It was said, which was the one where we won the... I'm not really that great history. It's like the WWE won. And it taught me so much. It taught me never be afraid to walk away from the table. I swore I would never walk away from the table unless I completely, or I would walk away from the table if I didn't completely believe. Now, this brings us to Shark Tank. After going through 6 months of interviewing, paperwork, 27-page contract, it came down to me signing that last page on the contract. You had to sign every single page. And the last one said, they pretty much have complete control of your company when it comes to how you promote your company. And that included YouTube, local radio and TV. I mean, it was so in-depth how they controlled you. I knew this was not smart for me.
It's like one of those American Idol contracts that you used to hear about on that show.
It's exactly like that. So, on my way out the door to Chattanooga, which is 90 minutes from Atlanta, I look back at my business partner, Steve Yu, and he said, D, so what are we going to do? Shark Tank wants to know. I said, send him an email, thank them for the opportunity, tell them we love the show, but we're going to pass. And he went, seriously? I said, seriously? He goes, but D, we spent 2 years on this. I said, I already let someone control my destiny once. And what I learned from that, I will never do that again. If I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail on my own. I'm not going to let someone guide me that way. So I left. I'm pulling into Chattanooga. I get a phone call from Steve. He goes, D, got Shark Tank on the phone. I got the executive producer on the phone. He wants to know how we can fix this. 3 more contracts later, I finally signed it. It was the best thing ever happened. You're about to see a video come out. We just sent it to Shark Tank because Shark Tank literally, it's so funny you bring this up. On Monday, we were going to be on Shark Tank because we were up again on CNBC on the repeat. It's like the 8th time they've replayed it. It's the gift that keeps giving. And we had put on Don't Miss Shark Tank. We're on at 8 o'clock tonight. And then it said, we are right now the 10th highest grossing app or fitness app. I'm not sure exactly. I'm pretty sure it might be fitness app. But we're the 10th highest on iPad. Now, granted, there's not as many apps on iPad as there is on iPhone. But we're doing fucking really well. And like an hour later, we get this email. And it's such a formulated email that I think the timing was just crazy because they couldn't have, maybe they saw our post. I don't know. But they wanted to know how our company has done since Shark Tank. Well, the app that I went to them and asked them for $200,000 for, I put over $1 million in. And the DDP Yoga Performance Center, we have over $2.4 million in it. So that's $3.4 million. We have no debt. So I call the DDP Yoga Performance Center the house that Shark Tank built. And I created a video, literally, it's just being refined right now. We've been shooting it for friggin' 3 weeks. So I sent them the not finished version, but pretty close to finished because we like to throw a little bells and whistles in at the end. I just sent that to them, like, do you really want to know how we're doing with Shark Tank? Well, don't read any of the stuff below. Just watch this video for starters. So our hope and dream is to get back on Shark Tank as they didn't get a deal, but look what happened since DDP Yoga was on Shark Tank.
Yeah, no, it's a great success story. I mean, they have a lot of stories about the ones who – who did make a deal and now how well they're doing. And I think that's, it's cool to see, a company that went on there didn't make a deal and you didn't need them. Really, if you think about it, you were able to go out and, I mean, by that point, I think DDP Yoga was already pretty big. This just kind of put it to that next level.
Yeah, it took us to the stratosphere, and it gave us really strong credibility, especially letting us bring Arthur on there. But the reason why we didn't get a deal is because we only offered 5%, and the sharks, three of the five, had been burnt with fitness products. And what's really funny to us, that Cuban just bought an app for a fitness app that seriously is not a pimple on the ass of what the DDP Yoga Now app is. And I say that sarcastically, but I'm serious as a heart attack. It's not a pimple on our ass. Cuban paid $1.5 million. All we wanted was I wanted to friggin' work with the Dallas Mavericks. That's what I wanted out of that. And to help Nowinski, however you say his last name, great, unbelievable player. I wanted to help him play till he was 40. Like Jabbar played till he was 41. Name me a player who's over 6'5", who even played over 38. You know, there's like nobody. Nobody over 6'9". Jabbar was over 7 foot. But he had been doing yoga with my buddy Brian Kest for the last 10 years of his career and still today. It's one of the reasons why Jabbar was so incredibly mobile at 7'1" and still can walk around pretty easily today. So I wanted to help, that player, Nowitzki, or however you say his last name. I wanted to help him. That was my main goal for Cuban. And I knew that if Cuban really got it, it could have really been unbelievable because he talks about stuff that he believes in, and he's a really smart guy, and it'd been worth 5% to me, but we didn't need them, and I just really wanted the whole deal. But think about what I was saying about Rock. This was 2 years before 2002, so this is like 2000, late 1999, and I'm talking about Rock. When I came in to the WWF, Rock was filming Scorpion King. Today, and everyone knows this, The Rock is the biggest star in the world. The highest paid actor. That's pretty unbelievable. And that, I couldn't be any prouder of him. I love his success. I would love to have cut those promos back and forth, but it's something that's probably happening in an alternate universe.
No, it's happening in the video games right now.
Right.
It's funny I mentioned that. I saw the video of you playing Pokemon Go, which is all I'm hearing about right now is that game. But let me tell you something. Forget Pokemon. If you guys have never seen the video of Dallas, Jake, and Scott playing Flappy Bird,
oh, God.
Okay, you need to track that down. I sympathize with you watching that because many times I wanted to take my own phone and smash it against the wall playing that stupid game.
Stupid game. And the Pokemon thing's totally ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. You see why I say it at the end? I go, this isn't for me. It's just too much work.
It was one of the shorter videos I've seen on your YouTube channel.
Yeah. All right, I'm done. Uncle.
Now, I know a lot of the WWE guys do DDP yoga. You've mentioned their names before. I want to ask you real quick about AJ Styles, because towards the end of last year, I think it was a herniated disc he had in his back, and I know he paid you a visit at the Performance Center that you've got down there in Georgia. Since then, he's come to WWE. He's one of the best guys they have he's on SmackDown, but either roster. Did he approach you? How did that all come about?
The guy who I credit with giving me the most credibility besides Arthur is Chris Jericho. And what had happened was, Shawn Michaels is the first guy to ever do my program. And he did it off of video DVDs I shot in my backyard. And a mutual, because I was never close with Shawn, but a buddy of ours named Rich Minzer was. And he'd be talking about, to Sean about, DDP yoga. And he'd come back from the surgery, and he said, you really ought to look into this. You ought to try it. So Sean took it and did it and never really talked about it because, Sean's not really a promoter. About himself, when he was getting himself over, I don't think there was anybody better. Shawn Michaels, if you really, You'd have to put him and Ric Flair's career right next to each other to really see, like, who was the greatest of all time when you add in everything, you know, from promos to work to the angles to big matches. You know, it'd be a really tough decision. Like, who's the best overall of all time? It's one of those two guys, at least in my opinion, when it comes to years in, like, everything. You add everything all together. But we're doing the very best of Nitro 1. Like, God just puts me on route sometime. It's really amazing. When I tell you I never talked to Shawn Michaels really before this day, pretty much, hey, Shawn in a gym, or hey, you know, walk up and shake each other's hands. We're working out in the same gym because we're in the same town. You know, met him when I first came to AWA, but there's never been a real conversation with Shawn and I until he's supposed to come by and do the, you know, the thing with the, you know, the one promo they ever shot with the very best of Nitro. And I personally believe they never shot anymore with number two or number three because we killed everything. Like, we sold so huge. Like, they wanted us to sell, but not that much. And long story short is, after Shawn and I got done shooting it, he said, you know, Dallas, he looked around and he goes, Jericho's coming back. And at least he wants to, but he's hurt. And he said, you should call him. I told him about you. And I told you that you, I told him that your stuff really works. And I said, did I get you the new DVDs? He's like, no. He goes, I don't have them. So I went and I got them and gave them to him. And I just happened to look on Twitter like the next day or a week later or whatever. And it was a picture of Jericho with his back all full of, you know, acupuncture. So I called him. And a lot like Scott, I've had Jericho never answer the phone ever before or since then. But he answered the phone that day. And I said, listen, Chris, I heard your back's blown out. And I swear to God, I was going to call you. I'm like, you were so full of shit. He's like, no, I swear to God, I was going to call you. You know, a lot of people are saying, you know, I should either do Trish's yoga or DDP's yoga. And if I'm doing anybody's, bro, it's yours. He said, you know, you're not going to do a chick yoga, yogi, yogi chick. You know, even though Trish is amazing. And what Trish does is awesome. You know, I got a lot of respect for her. But she's still in the yoga world, and really, I'm not. And that's by design. So I said, listen, bro, I don't want to sell you on anything. All I want you to do is watch this video I'm going to send you. And we hung up, and I'd send him the video of Arthur. It takes 4 minutes and 53 seconds. Within 5 minutes, he'd called me back. He said, dude, I will do whatever you tell me to do. I said, I'm sending out the package right now. You'll get it. I'll send it overnight. You'll get it. You have any questions, you call me. 5 weeks later, he calls me and tells me he's addicted to it. That his body feels 85% pain-free. Like, he thought he was done. But not just singing. I mean, wrestling, singing. Because he couldn't hit the high notes. And he felt unbelievable. He's like, does everyone feel like this? I said, the people who do it. You know, if you put the work in, you know, then it works unbelievable. If you don't put the work in, well, really nothing works. You know, and 3 months later, he was 100% pain-free 3 months later and headlined Mania with Punk. So this is literally, I sent this text to Chris. And I only send them texts once in a while if I have something I want them to know, or, you know, something that, you know, that I want his opinion on or whatever. But I literally just sent this text on Tuesday, July 19th, after the SmackDown match he had with, God, I don't remember who he had the match with. Who was that with? Was it AJ? Who was it with?
Was that July 19th? That was the draft show. You sure,
right,
that was the one?
Right. Yes, that was it. Who did he wrestle? Someone like, was it Ambrose? No, it wasn't Ambrose. It was some guy who could really go.
Sami Zayn?
Was it Sammy?
I don't remember.
Was he could, and I can't, because I was mainly fixated on how much punishment Jericho was doing to himself by the moves he was doing to them or taking.
Well, I mean, forget that for a second. I mean, let's go back a little bit further. I remember it was either earlier this year or last year, there was a spot in a match on Raw where he did a dive off the top of a steel cage.
Now, that I remember, on to Bray Wyatt. I was like, no, Chris, don't do it, as he's climbing the cage, right? But as he landed in safely, I was like, yes, 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 because, again, it becomes great for a highlight reel for Chris to go, he's 40, there he's 45, now he's 46. But I literally texted Jericho, okay, I'm sore, I am a sore motherfucker just watching that match. And then I wrote, great finish. Now ice up, bro. And he wrote back, haha, thanks. I don't need ice. I've got DDP yoga. Like, shoot, that's what he sent me back. And I wrote, ice up anyway. You know, because I'm the only guy, I'm the first guy to ever ice his body, period. And a lot of guys see it as like, I don't need ice. Like, yeah, you do.
Right.
But that's here and there, because Chris has had an unbelievable career, you know, performs at a whole different level. If you can tell, you know, who's the young guy out there in the match with Chris Jericho, God bless you. You know, because he goes and he just hits these moves that are so high impact, you know, that I'm just, you know, it's just awesome. And the way Dustin Rhodes was moving, last match I saw him, man, just moving like a cat. And look at AJ, again, in a lot, what happened was, to answer your question, is Jericho texts me, D, AJ needs your help. Here's his email. So I emailed him and said, AJ, send me your phone number. It's Dallas. And I knew what he was doing, and I was like, get your ass over here, dude. You're less than an hour away from me, 45 minutes from me. Get over here. I'll give you everything. I took him through an hour workout, and, you know, he wasn't anywhere near as bad as I thought he was, so he was in a really great spot, and I just hope he keeps doing it, you know, and doesn't wait till he gets hurt again to do it, you know. So I don't know how often he's doing it, but I know he gives his props all the time. So what's really cool that I am so excited about, are you a UFC fan?
Of course.
Frank Mir is coming here on the 22nd to the Accountability Crib. You know, he's going to crash with me for 10 days, and we're going to train double sessions.
Wow.
And I'm hoping to help him break up scar tissue and help him, you know, heal his body, because he's only 37. Tomorrow, a friend of mine named Randy Harris, is coming. He just happens to be in town for the fight, and he wanted to come by, and I wanted him to see my performance center and stuff. And so I said, why don't you meet me around 2 o'clock? He goes, do you mind if I bring Ian McCall with me? I'm like, no, I love to meet that handsome son of a bitch. But what a great kid. But he's beat up too, man. And you know, well, that's the whole thing. You can't – the thing I'm happiest about right now is Mick Foley. You know, someone put out a list on the internet, the top 15 wrestlers that need DDP yoga. I popped. You know, going through all the guys that they had up there, number one was Mick. And you saw him at WrestleMania. You saw him the other night running to the friggin', you know.
Yeah, right, which is not something he's known for. But I think, what's he down, about 70 pounds now?
75 now.
Wow.
And again, forget the weight. He needed to be off the weight, just take it off his body. But the fact that Mick is eating better and doing my program and feeling, we were both at an autograph signing in Miami on the 4th of July. And I was sitting watching the World Cup in the lobby of this hotel we were staying. It's a sweet, sweet hotel on the ocean. And he come walking in. He's like, D. I said, hey, man. I go, sit out. So we're sitting down and watching, and we're just talking. He goes, I got to tell you, I just got back from dinner, and I went with some friends, and they said it's only 6 blocks away. He goes, I just walked 6 blocks there and 6 blocks back. He goes, that hasn't happened in over 20 years.
Wow.
So that's what really DDP yoga is. Forget the weight loss. That's just an awesome side effect. It's how your body feels, especially when you start to put real food in your body. Because it goes from the disabled vets to the older people, to people who are really obese, to world-class athletes like an AJ Styles, like a Chris Jericho, like a Frank Mir.
I mentioned AJ before being drafted to SmackDown. WWE just had its brand extension draft last week. Now, the very first draft they ever did, I think you just missed it. That I think that was the same year that you got hurt. I thought that was the year you got hurt.
Yeah, but I was still there for the well, maybe I wasn't. I don't remember now. I was there so short a time. I was there, you know, man, I really only wrestled there for like 4 months. You know, over the six I was there, because I tore my meniscus and came back and did the thing for WrestleMania. And, like, my goal was I have to work a WrestleMania. And then I got to work with a talent who was as great as Christian was, because Christian was amazing. And, you know, then I got to have a hell of a match with him at WrestleMania 18. And, you know, actually go over, which was pretty sweet. You know, my goal was clear. I have to work at WrestleMania, and I got it back for that. My goal should have been, I need to work the main event at WrestleMania.
Right.
Forgot that part of the goal. But, you know, to actually done this last 5 years with WWE has just been so special. You know, to get to be due to all three, the very best of Nitros, and, you know, got to be, at, you know, induct Jake in the Hall of Fame and show up whenever they do, like, the 1,000th episode or old school Raw. You know, I'm always up there when there was 12 guys who are legends that could actually still work in the ring and that are considered legends. And for Vince to have out of the 12, for him to pick me as one of the guys, pretty sweet. You know, just to be on 2 days from my 60th birthday. I mean, I love the WWE. It's been it wasn't the greatest opening for me, but it sure as hell is an awesome finish. And if I never do anything with them again, I had a hell of a ride. I'm very grateful and, you know, couldn't be any happier about the lessons I learned within the company, right on down to branding. Like, I was pretty smart about branding, but I don't let anybody call it I do yoga, because that's a whole different element. DDP yoga. It's sort of like there's no more WWF. Well, wait a minute. That's what I was doing. It was WWF. Like, no, it wasn't. No, it was WWE. Like, you want to work here? You want to have something to do here? WWE. Whether it's Bruno saying it, because it was the WWWF.
That's right.
When Bruno did it. But it's WWE.
Let me just go back real quick. It was 02, I know, when your run ended there. And I just watched a match not too long ago. It was a SmackDown match with you and Bob Holly. And I think that was the match where you hurt your back. And you hit that. You hit that superplex and you over-rotated. It almost looked like you kicked Bob in the balls on the way down.
I did. Funny story is, that's where I almost broke my neck. That wasn't my back. That was my neck. And because I landed on the top of my shoulder, because Bob had knocked me out right before that. I lit him up in the corner, threw him in a turnbuckle. When I got to him, his foot should have been stopped. So I gauged it for where it was at the last second. He extended it, and my neck only goes so far.
Sure.
So that knocked me. And then Bob, you know, had 21-inch arms. I mean, Bobby got – and he got the name Hardcore Holly legitimately. You know, he came through with a clothesline, and normally he'd never even hit me. I'd be gone. But because I was a little knocked, now he hit me. Now he whiplashed me. So now I'm on the mat. Before he suplexes me, I'm completely out on my feet. I'm like, Bob, you knocked me out. I have no idea where I am in this match. And as he got up from the suplex, he said, stop me, going off the top. And then it hit me, okay, I'm supposed to suplex him off the top here. So I dove on the rope, came at him. And as I started to go to the top rope, I thought, I can't go all the way up. I'll put one foot on the top rope because I got to get him flat. I was so fixated on getting him flat, I didn't take care of myself. And when we hit, I thought I broke my neck. And we're both, and I'm thinking, what the hell is he moaning at? I know I laid him flat. So he goes, you all right? I go, no, dude, I thought I broke my neck. And he said, you okay? I go, no, dude, not good. So we went home, hit him with a diamond cutter, you know, after to close out of that and fucking point out to the people, and I hold my neck. I'm like, oh, my God. Now I can't even move my neck. I can't move my head from side to side. Go to the back, give each other a big hug, and it's like, hey, man. He goes, sorry about that boot. He goes, I know I caught you with that boot. Oh, and hey, it ain't checkers, dude. It is what it is. Now he's rubbing his bicep. And he said, "Well, I know I got you with that clothesline." He goes, "And I know because I thought I tore my bicep." And my jaw print was in his bicep right at the insertion of his elbow.
Oh, jeez.
And he goes, "But you got me back." I go, "What do you mean I got you back?" He said, "Man, when you suplex me, your foot came around so fast when you hit, you kicked me in the dick so hard, I thought my dick was on fire." And everybody laughed, you know, but right there, I was in so much pain in my neck, you know. And again, my fault, you know, because I figured I should have laid myself flat.
Sure, sure. We'll end with this. I know you got that movie, The Bet, coming out. It's out, actually, it's out right now. It's out on iTunes and YouTube. Tell people just real quick about the movie.
Oh, you know, it's funny. It's, you know, it's that stupid humor that I love. And, you know, there's a lot of, if you're a wrestling fan, there's a lot of, you know, Jake's in it. I'm in it. Roddy's in it. Tommy Dreamer does a cameo in it. It was a lot of fun. The actors in it are really good and they're really fun. And it's, you know, it's sophomoric type humor, you know, all around. The guy's got it. He's got to fuck like 12 girls in a month or something like that. I can't remember exactly.
Tough job.
Yeah, and I play the dad, you know, and he's an eccentric inventor that, you know, is sort of like completely the opposite of what people used to see me at. I'm just sort of mellow and, you know, sort of, you know, understanding, you know, to what my son, you know, really, you sure you really want to do that, you know, and, you know, how do you think she'd feel about that? You know, like, more like, and then I'm, I won't even tell you what I'm doing, what I'm building, but it's ridiculous. But it's funny, you know, it's funny, stupid humor type stuff, and, you know, it's good, you know, I think you'll get a big kick out of it. And Jake's, you know, Jake's funny in it, and Roddy's in it. It's Roddy's last movie.
That's right, you know? His final film.
Yeah, so, you know, miss that son of a bitch. You know, it's a good, you know, if you're a Piper fan, it's a must see.
Well,
I'll tell you.
It's out on iTunes right now. Dallas, let people know how they can get in touch with you and any appearances you have coming up.
Well, you know, Twitter, I'm all over that. @RealDDP, @DDPYoga, ddpyoga.com. If you're interested in the program, if you want to get the app, which is a free app, as well as a subscription. The free app is amazing. Every person who works out should have it because there's so many cool things on it that's free. Go to iTunes or Google Play and download DDP Yoga now. It's all there, but you can get all the information at ddpyoga.com.
Dallas, pleasure as always, and thanks everybody for listening. Check out the full Sound Off shows every weekend. He is DDP. I am the Solomonster, and until next time, take care, guys.